The opinions expressed are those of the show hosts and may not necessarily be of any company in which the show hosts may represent. Welcome to the Technology Blog and Podcast. This is podcast number 381. Thank you, Sean, for leaving us some feedback in regards to our last program. I have addressed your comments at the end of this particular program. We are going to start with a trend micro webinar, if you will. It's more of a video than a webinar, talking about customer success. And we want to make sure that our customers are always happy, no matter what type of business you are in. I would call this a little bit more as a shortened version of a webinar. I know there isn't any questions per se, but it is definitely interesting to see these types of things, and I thought it would be perfect for this program because we talk about how companies don't do a good job dealing with their customers, especially when they have a breach. So customer success, no matter what you're doing and what's going on in the business, is always good. And I don't know if you agree with me with 10 years maximum, but I have a hunch this guy is going to get less than that, because we are going to talk about an Ohio man that could get 10 years maximum for sabotaging the network after he was demoted. This occurred in Ohio, and the article is in our show notes. And let me know what you think. And finally, Windows update for March. We talk about a couple of items, but there's a whole host of items, and there are more articles out there that you can get your teeth into if you want all of the details. As I said, Sean left some commentary and we addressed one dealing with Anchor. I think he will be fine if he chooses to use that platform. It was my experience only, nothing more. Email iMessage Tech, that's TECH at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. Or call the comment line and either leave a message or talk to me, depending on what's happening. 888-405-7524 or 818-527-4754. I hope to see you on another edition of the program. And until then, thanks so much for listening.
Welcome, everyone, to Trend Talks Life. I am your host, Aaron Tomey, and today we're talking to Customer Success Operations Manager, Aaron Whitbread. Aaron, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks, Aaron, and thanks for inviting me.
Of course, happy to have you. I would love to just start with you sharing a bit about your role here at Trend Micro.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am with Trend for over 12 years. I have had many different roles. My current role is Customer Success Operations Manager for Europe. The best way for me to describe that role is what our CSMs, what our customer success managers do for our customers, I do for the customer success org within Europe, and actually kind of the wider European business from a customer success perspective. So everything from, you know, processes, data, technology, platforms, enablement, all of that is kind of is my responsibility, and actually it's our responsibility. So we've a CS Ops team in Europe, and you know it takes a village.
Well, you mentioned it there in your introduction. You've been at Trend for over 12 years. You've been in many different roles, interacting with many different trenders, partners, customers. Over that time, what are the biggest changes you've noticed at Trend, and also just in the cybersecurity industry as a whole?
Reflecting on this question, I think the biggest change that I've seen in 12 years, in over 12 years, is actually the pace of change. So, you know, I can remember way back when, you know, when I first started, that the release of a new version of Worry-Free was a big event, you know, and I'm only kind of half joking when I say that. It's, you know, there was still innovation back then. I can remember, you know, the launch of Deep Discovery. There was the launch of Deep Security as a Service. There was the introduction of machine learning into Apex One. There was, you know, the competitive landscape kind of matched that as well. So our competitors were, you know, had similar innovations, and there always was innovation within the solutions, but I don't think it was ever quite at the pace that we see at the moment. And that's both for Trend and also obviously for our competitors and the general marketplace out there. I think also that pace of change applies to the business and the business transformation, and that's the same for us as it is for our customers. So, you know, I go way back when again, and everything was just perpetual license. It was all on premise. And now we have, you know, there's SaaS, we've got subscription licensing. I remember the introduction of smart protection. You know, there's credits, there is consumption, there is marketplaces, you know, and there's all of these various options for customers that I think it's also a bit hard to keep up with for the, certainly internally for the field, it's kind of hard to keep up with. There's, you know, there's a lot of resources that come out of, say, platform management. There's a certain amount of kind of self-responsibility that the field has to kind of keep up with this. But what does make it easier is, I think it's very clear on why the pace of change has changed, why we are, you know, so innovative, and, you know, that the change has accelerated so much. I think we've got a very clear direction. And I think that, you know, difficulty for customers is the same as it is for us internally in terms of keeping up with what are the latest threats, what is the competitive landscape, what solutions are available, you know, what methods are there for purchasing and licensing and so on and so forth. But I also think that it's very clear for our customers, we make it very clear for our customers that, all right, it might be a bumpy journey, but this is the destination. So yeah, it's definitely that pace of change that is the biggest change that I've seen. I think I wandered away from your original question there a little bit, but yeah, hopefully that answers it.
It certainly does. And one thing that came to mind while I was listening was, if we look at it from the customer standpoint, and it's interesting, I've asked quite a few people this question in previous Trend Talks, and I'm not sure I've had that answer before. And I think with you being in customer success, it also makes me wonder, customer success isn't really something that, from my understanding, it's a newer function at Trend in the last few years. It didn't necessarily exist in its current state back when you started 12 years ago. And I wonder, you know, does customer success kind of become more and more important as our industry and products and how we do things becomes more complex. You know, it's not just you buy a license, deploy a solution, click a few buttons, and that's it, and you don't really need as much support. So I kind of see customer success as being part of that evolution of this rapid increase in the rate of change.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, obviously, I would say this being part of CS, but there is a very strong role for CS to play in that, you know, in guiding our customers through this journey. So whether that's just from a technology and solutions perspective, or, you know, threat landscape, or, you know, how do you purchase, how do you work with your credits, how do you work with marketplaces and consumption billing and so on and so forth. So yeah, we do have a very strong role in, you know, in guiding customers down this road.
What is something that you've learned from one customer that you would want all customers and all security practitioners to know?
I used to be customer facing when I was a seller in about three roles ago. And there was one particular customer that stands out. It was an account that they were only a prospect. They weren't an existing customer yet. I worked on this account for about 18 months. They were a fintech organization. I stayed in touch with them. I worked with CIO through IT manager down to security analyst. You know, I used to talk to them about our solutions, about the industry as a whole, about threats. I used to invite them to events and webinars. And so I got all of this contact, and I used to get on with the guys in there quite well, but I could never get an opportunity going. I could never actually, you know, find something to sell them. And one day I got a call out of the blue, and it was one of the guys in there, and they said, okay, we've got an audit coming up. We know we're going to fail. I can't remember what the specific audit was, but we know we're going to fail. But we know what we need to do to pass the audit, and it's basically by deep security. We need network pack, IPS, virtual patching. And, you know, we'll send you the requirements, send a quote through our partner, and we'll raise a PO by the end of the week. And I think it took about 10 days to get the deal over the line. It wasn't huge. It was a six-figure deal, but it wasn't a massive six-figure deal. And it was from start to close, about 10 days after working with this customer for about 18 months. And I think what stood out for me twofold, I suppose, both firstly, from an internal perspective, you know, as an account manager, it kind of showed me, yes, you know, maintain those relationships with customers, you know, all of that, be the trusted advisor, all of that kind of good stuff that you're taught to do from day one. But it always struck me that from a customer perspective, these guys were quite canny, that they'd always take my call, and they'd always listen, and they'd ask lots of questions, and they leveraged me as their trusted advisor to get all of the knowledge that they needed around, you know, the security landscape, what were competitors doing, what were trend doing, what solutions were available, so that when they were faced with a challenge, they knew exactly where to go to solve that challenge, or what to do to fix it. And I think that's the key thing that I think all customers should bear in mind, is that, you know, whether you've got your list of vendors, or even prospective vendors, or your partners, they are plugged into these various parts of IT technology and, you know, IT industry and security specific, security threat landscape, et cetera, you know, regulation changes, all of that kind of stuff. And they can do the legwork for you in terms of bringing all that knowledge together. So I would say to customers, absolutely use and abuse your vendors and prospective vendors and your partners to be trusted advisors, to bring that knowledge to you, so that when you do have a problem or you do have a challenge, you know where to turn. And actually, Aaron, it comes back to your comments there on customer success as well, in that, you know, once a customer is with us, we want them to be successful, and so we want to be their trusted advisor. And so leverage, whether it's a customer success manager or an account manager or an SE or whoever, you know, leverage that knowledge that exists in all of your vendors.
I think the right vendor really just wants to help. They want their customers to be successful. And like you kind of said with your story there, it was someone who wasn't a customer, but it's not like they were coming to you with questions and you were saying, whoa, 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 guys, I can't answer anything until you guys actually buy something. You know, that's not the mindset that at Trend, I'm sure there are a lot of other vendors that have that same mindset as well, as we just want everyone to be safe. We want everyone to be successful. And the common enemy is, you know, the hackers, everything that's coming at us from the criminal side of things. So the right vendor just wants to help. They just want everyone to be successful, whether they're a customer or not.
Yeah, 100%.
Aaron, thank you so much for joining me on Trend Talks Life today. I've really enjoyed it chatting about all things customers, all things customer success. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Having a successful company must start with making sure your customers are happy. And with big companies, as you heard in that video, a team that deals with customer success in various regions is probably a good idea. Don't know about small companies, but basically large companies, or maybe a medium size, will be just fine by me. That's what we started with. Welcome to the Technology Blog and Podcast, podcast number 381. I am Jared Reimer, and today we are going to start with an article. As I talked about in my ideas of what I wanted to do with this particular program. And the article, of course, will be blogged. And, of course, it will also be put in our show notes if you would like to read what we are talking about, so you can form your own opinion. And while I really like covering these particular stories of people getting picked up for doing stupid crap, I don't have any particular reservation if we find out that a suspect who is actually named in this article, and so is the company involved, and what the suspect did. Now, I'm going to be frank with everybody. I don't think the 10 years that this article is saying that he'll get for sabotaging a company network is enough, especially since the company itself had to pay money to get the network fixed. This guy is a software developer who was probably using his skills for good. But when he got demoted, he decided he was going to go ahead and take down the company with him by creating a piece of malware. No matter what state he lives in, whether he's in Texas or whether he lives in Ohio, he basically caused problems. He apparently worked for a company called Eaton Corporation, And in the article, this is linked to a Cleveland article. He worked for the company from October of 2007 to October of 19. Now, the article says November to October, but, you know, the hiring process could have started a month earlier. And so that's all well and good. After the company restructured, he found out that he lost his responsibilities. This was custom malware and kill switches. Now, if he's found guilty and must spend 10 years in prison, and we later learn by continuing to read the article that the company had to spend thousands of dollars, why did the court not come on and say, defendant, you must pay restitution to this company for the thousands of dollars that they spent, and of course the number would be known. But I guess if you're spending 10 years in prison, paying restitution to the company is not going to be an option. But I've seen cases through my desk that have been read where defendants like Lou had to pay back the company for the costs involved, regardless of whether they were in prison or otherwise. So what I didn't write in the blog post is that he made this piece of malware run in an infinite loop, exhausting a server's resources, mainly one that is already in production. And this caused the server to crash and present authenticated users who wanted to do their job to log in. He also deleted coworkers' profiles and implemented the kill switch if his account was deleted. The kill switch was named is, with the I capitalized, DLE, all capitalized, and then the word enabled, the rest of it, NABLED lowercase, in is lowercase, AD, and that's in uppercase. And the abbreviation, which I just spoke, is Davis Lou enabled in Active Directory, which is a question. He was terminated in September of 2019, and that caused other people to lose access to the network. And we're talking thousands of employees. Again, why is he just serving 10 years with no other repercussion? Normally, if you have a computer given to you by the company and you are terminated, you are required to turn it in. This guy, Davis Liu, went ahead and reportedly deleted encrypted data. And the Department of Justice indicated that the company lost thousands of dollars, it doesn't even say what, and he had been researching how to elevate privileges, hide processes, and delete files. But I want to know how many thousands of dollars they lost because of his stupidity. They convicted Liu of causing intentional damage to protected computers, which is what the sentencing will be. Although, according to this article, no date for that sentencing has been set. Now, the maximum is 10 years. But if we know the court system by now, he will probably get 5 years, which may be a minimum. I say give him the maximum, because frankly he knew exactly what the hell he was doing. So give him the maximum and find out how much money the company lost because of his stupidity, and then make sure that he doesn't get employed at this company again. That's is how you solve that problem. This is absolutely crazy that they would just find him guilty, say, all right, the maximum is 10 years, and you don't have to pay a thing. You must be crazy. I would love to hear your thoughts. So please send me an email at tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. You can send me an iMessage using the same address. You can text me or use WhatsApp by sending the message to 804-442-6975. And if you would like to leave a comment on the comment line, anyone can dial 888-405-7524 or 818-527-4755. 5-4. If You are an international caller. International charges will apply unless you use iMessage or WhatsApp. I am Jared Reimer, and this is the Technology Blog and Podcast. Well, folks, it's time to talk a little bit about Windows Update. And you should make sure, if possible, to make sure that you are as up-to-date as possible. And I know that it is going to be a little difficult, because there are going to be people that say, well, it does this and it does that. And yes, I know it has done things to me too, like changing my settings, especially for some programs where sound cards are concerned. But I'm not going to harp on the reasons why. We covered this on TSB when we covered updating software as part of the National Cybersecurity Awareness Month program. My goal now is to tell you what's out there. And of course, people are going to make their own decisions. That's fine. Make the decision that is best for you. There are plenty of articles. We will link to one from Krebs on Security. There are over 50 security updates for the various operating systems. But there are 6 of these updates that are seeing active exploitation and are called 0 days. This means, as it states, that if an attacker were to send you, say, a malicious link or a malicious file, and it took advantage of the various flaws in the operating system, that the actor or actors could, in theory, get into your system just by you running that file. So there are 2 CVEs which are linked. We'll just call them 991 and 993, are in the native file format NTFS, that is what I think the default for Windows these days. And they require the attacker to mount a virtual hard disk. 993 would allow local code execution, and 991 could cause NTFS to disclose portions of memory, and that could include sensitive data. Let's say you're working on putting in a credit card for payment because you don't have a virtual card in the application you're using doesn't give you the opportunity to create one and fill it in for you. Well, even if you had a virtual card, you could probably be in trouble, but having a virtual card would protect you more than not. We've talked about virtual cards on the Security Box. So, you don't want your memory just getting pilfered. And this could be an example. I'm not saying that this is the case, but that's that. There's another CVE, we'll call 983, which causes an elevation of privilege vulnerability in the Windows operating system. And ESET researchers say that it's done through the Pipe Magic backdoor, which allows folks to get access to the machine. So, there are plenty of others, and two or three of these may just give you the idea that this is good and is a good idea. Now, I'm not going to make decisions for people. I'm just going to pass it along, and we'll make sure that you have an opportunity to read about it and learn about it and make the decisions that's right for you. I know that in October, since this machine doesn't have room for Windows 11, I will really be in trouble, but I don't really have the money to buy a new machine and the money to pay somebody to be switching things and everything else. So I understand when people say, you know, I don't want to run all these updates because, you know, things are just working. I completely get it. But if you're able to, these are just several reasons why you should. Now, hopefully, if I'm smart, my computer won't be able to be taken advantage of, and it'll be fine. Or maybe, hopefully, I'll be able to get a machine that I could just use for what I need, and maybe this machine would just be an automation machine. So we'll just have to see. But I don't have to worry about that for right now. More news about what's in the article can be found in our show notes. Please stay safe, everybody. Hello, folks. That's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. I hope that everyone will enjoy the program as much as I have bringing it to you. Remember that we are going to try and release on Mondays, and if a program isn't available, we will release the next available Monday. This will make it so that we can keep some sort of scheduling instead of releasing programs anytime we want. I know that a lot of podcasters like to keep themselves on a schedule, and we're going to try and do that, although I may schedule it for different times throughout the day on Monday. And I know some networks tend to release at certain times, and I know one of those networks being the TWiT network, like Security Now, they tape in the afternoon and they usually have it up by evening the same day. And so for this podcast, since it's not necessarily one of those that is broadcasted at a certain time on a network and then put up later, we will resort to Mondays, and we'll try and do that in the morning. As for the others, the TSN, the fairly new shortened podcast on what's coming up on Throwback Saturday Night, which I participate on through the Security Boxes programming in a way, but not directly through the Security Boxes program. We usually do other things. That is usually going to be issued between 5 and 6 o'clock the day before on Fridays, as that show airs on Saturday, and then you can get it as a podcast that very evening. Of course, my independent shows, I think I'm also going to try and release on Monday. That'll give me time to get both of them together, and then both of them uploaded. I just need to find good times to do that, because one came out very late evening, and that wasn't my intent. I think I want to do one in the morning and one in the afternoon for that. So we're doing stuff network-wide here, and still playing with our new home. I would like to thank Sean for his comments in regards to the whole Anchor situation. There are going to be people who are going to be fine on Anchor. I'm not going to sit there and bash, because, you know, we know Spotify bought them out. So it's not Anchor anymore. It's actually called Spotify for Podcasters. And of course, one man's opinion is always good. And as I stated, you know, there were good reasons for me to leave, but you may be just fine there. We always put intros on our files, and so that's not what they're complaining about. They're complaining about the constant, you know, music like I do on my Sunday shows. If you want a copy of a Sunday show, you can go to the Sunday feed at jaredreimer.net/Sunday, and you can download a copy of the show. It could be any more recent versions, and you'll hear what I'm talking about. We just play a bunch of tunes. There is some talking, but mainly tunes, and that was the whole deal about leaving Anchor. You can read Sean's comments on the blog if you wish, and of course you're always welcome to comment on the blog. You do need to register, but it's easy to do so, and it's completely free. You can also email or iMessage me at tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975, or call the comment line at 888-405-6975. 7524 or 818-527-4754. And you may go ahead and leave a message. You may even get to talk to me depending on what's going on and whether I am available. I hope to see everybody on another edition of the program when it becomes available. And until then, thanks so much for listening. This completes program 381 of the Technology Blog and Podcast.